This is Center Stage Minnesota, and it's our show at Northern Community Radio where we focus on the talents of Minnesota musicians. Today we've got a feature on Faith Boblett, a young singer-songwriter that just put out her first record, Oil and Water. We're going to get started today on Center Stage Minnesota. Well, first I should let you know I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. I'm your host for today's edition of Center Stage Minnesota. Today I'm going to start off with two bands. Charlie Power, we're going to hear one that he recorded live in our studios when he was in for an interview. And then we're going to hear one from Kind Country Band. Here's a short one from Charlie Power. This is on one of his most recent releases, but I thought that this recording in our own studios really had this intimacy where it brought through the, well, what he's trying to get across in his voice. This is Badger.
Summer when the corn was fully grown, we'd gone for a swim in the pond of my Uncle Henry's farm. When we got home, we saw a badger in the yard, running flat out for a hole beneath the shed. And he disappeared into his den underneath the floor, and he was gone, and my dad just said, "God damn. Badger can't stay, he'll kill you just like that. That mean as any grizzly, son, sneaky as any cat." And he went and got his gun from the closet in the hall, and pulled a six-pack from the fridge, and he walked on out the door. Well, Mom made us brush our teeth and get ourselves to bed. "It's late and he'll be a while," was all that she would say. And I saw him in the twilight as 4:10 across his lap, sitting in a lawn chair, staring at the shed. Fallen soldier from the six-pack was laying at his feet. Sometime in the night, a gunshot woke me from my sleep. It was late in the summer when the corn was fully grown. We'd gone for a swim in the pond on my Uncle Henry's farm.
Spend all
all day, did a dark, and I worked at night time. All the money I made, it's in my pocket, it's coming home to me. And still you're gone when I get home. You're running down.
Down.
That's Faith Boblett, and that comes from Oil and Water, her new full-length release. She is a 22-year-old singer-songwriter that went to 9th and 10th grade in Crosby, at Crosby High School, Crosby Arrington High School, and then went down to the Purpich School for the Arts for her junior and senior year in high school. As you can tell there, she's quite a skilled songwriter already at the age of 22, and she seems very much to me poised to really the sky's the limit for Faith Boblett. Her father and mother operate the Northland Press. They moved up north when she was in fifth grade, and they started a newspaper up there, both musicians, and now Faith is a musician, and she's putting herself out there as a singer, songwriter, musician that wants to turn it into a successful career, and I think this is a pretty damn good start. So that one was Long Ride Home, and we're going to hear my conversation with Faith in just a few minutes after we hear one more song from this record, Oil and Water. Kind of want to demonstrate the different directions that she is capable of going with her songs. That one was very much a country type of song, although that's I wouldn't say in the new country vein, probably more of the classic country vein. And then here's one that, you can decide what you think of this one from Faith Boblett on Center Stage, Minnesota.
Just because we sleep in the same bed doesn't mean we have the same dreams, doesn't mean we want the same things, it doesn't really mean a damn thing.
That song was called Choke, Not Gonna Be. We'll hear that one a little later. It comes from Oil and Water from Faith Boblett's very new release. Faith Boblett is a singer songwriter that I'm impressed with what I know so far and what I've heard so far, and she's one of those people that also I am very excited about the idea of what the future may hold for Faith Boblett as well. And here is my conversation with Faith Boblett, singer-songwriter, originally from Outing.
You attended Crosby High School mm-hmm. for a couple of years, 9th and 10th grade?
Yep, 9th and 10th grade.
And then you went to Purpich School. What's the official title of that?
Purpich Center for Arts Education okay. in Golden Valley.
That's the school that is specifically for people that are showing at a young age that they've got a propensity for some sort of artistic expression?
Yeah, it's a place they have a lot of different art areas, visual, media, theater, music for me, other things like that. And anyone can audition, but you just have to pass the audition process to go. So it's okay. not a private school or anything like that. But they have dorms for kids from outstate Minnesota if they are too far to drive every day. So that's what I did for my junior and senior year.
When did your family move up to northern Minnesota?
We moved up to Outing the last day of school, fifth grade. So I was 11 years old. We moved up, and it was the cabin before we moved up. So it was familiar, but definitely a change in pace from the cities to a smaller town. So it definitely impacted how I started writing music and everything, because I started doing that around 13, so yeah. a couple of years after.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question. What did that involve? Were you writing songs a lot? Did you just write one and then go back to it like 2 years later? Or was it something where you started and you were immediately drawn to it and kept going?
Definitely, I started it and I could not stop. I picked up my sister's guitar that was a gift to her. It was a little toy guitar, and I started kind of learning chords from a pocketbook Beatles songbook that had the diagrams in the back, and I'd go and kind of figure them out, and I taught myself some chords on guitar, and then started learning other people's songs and decided that I want to start writing my own music. So that was probably around 13, and kind of just haven't stopped since then, and something I love to do.
You've got a talent for it, that's for sure. Your father, Paul, is a veteran musician, and your mother and father met each other in a band. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's true.
What band was that?
I'm not going to lie, I don't even know the name of it, but I know it was a cover band at the time. And so I know that my mom is a few years older than my dad, and he auditioned, and she was like, is this like a 13-year-old? He's not going to get in the band. And then they heard him play bass, and she's like, okay, he can be in the band. So, and then the rest is history for them. But it's kind of an awesome thing knowing that music is what brought them together, even just knowing each other. And then, you know, they're together now, and obviously I'm here. So we all share the music in the family. It's kind of a thing. So everybody has got something with the arts and music in my family. It's crazy.
In terms of your musicianship and your development and for your future, how do you think that impacts it?
Just the music in my family?
Just you being a musician, and now you're launching yourself out and attempting to make a career of it. So there's a lot that lies ahead of you, too.
Right.
I'm sure your father's knowledge of some of the pitfalls and some of the other things that, you know, will probably help guide you.
Definitely.
And other ways, too. So I'm just wondering how you feel. Like, do you feel safer as you venture out there?
Totally. That's such an accurate description of how I feel, just knowing that someone that not only is like my friend and someone that's in my band, but he's my dad and he's done it all before and he's seen friends rise to the top and then just have it ripped out from under them. And having him to tap as a resource is amazing. I mean, there'll be a day where he doesn't play bass for me anymore, and because it's going to, you know, he doesn't want to sleep on floors, mm-hmm. you know, so, and I can understand that. I don't really either, but I'm going to have to do that. So I'm always going to count on him as someone I can talk to and just ask for advice. And he's an amazing guy. I love my dad. He's awesome. So definitely he's a resource for sure.
Well, you've just accomplished a major goal in releasing Oil and Water, which is your brand new record.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is you've got some more goals laid out for yourself. What are you thinking is next?
Well, definitely the release show, which will hopefully be by the end of the year. I'm hoping to do it at The Entry, which is connected to First Ave in Minneapolis. So, and then I'd like to do some shows throughout the state to kind of launch that as well, up Duluth, over Bemidji, just kind of everywhere if I can. But after that's done, we're just going to kind of ride it out. I would like to go on a tour next summer, like, you know, Midwest tour with some friends, and hopefully that can happen. But I'm also going to be working on an EP with a couple of different friends from the cities that kind of helped actually shape the record. They're not on it, but they definitely were in my band and kind of helped me get to where I am now. So we're going to be doing an EP together in probably late fall or this spring, and hopefully to release next summer. So I have a lot of things I want to do, and it's just kind of figuring out the end picture and how to get there.
This record was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. A good amount of that has been due to adversity that you and your family have faced in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can be as private or as open about this as you'd like. I mean, in terms of addressing that to the degree that you'd like to.
Okay. It started in January of 2011, right? Yes, okay. It's so long ago now, it's like, gotta check. So it started in January of 2011. We went down for the first time to record, and we were just planning on doing a 4 or 5 song EP. That's all we kind of had at the time to put forth with the full band effort. So we kept going down a couple times here and there because we recorded in Cannon Falls, southern Minnesota, where the record was engineered. And from there, we just kept working on it, eventually kind of realized we have more songs than this. And then that fall, my grandfather passed away. And so that kind of put a little bit of a hiccup in everything, because family definitely comes first for me, and I needed to be there for my mom and her side of the family. So from there, we kind of got back on track after that happened. And then last summer, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and she's doing great now, so that's awesome. But that definitely took a huge chunk of our lives away from things like the record or the newspaper that my parents own, and my sister with her schooling and all of that. The focus was on being there for my mom and each other and being a support system there. So, but it definitely, I think the adversity I faced and my family faced during the time of my record, putting it together, getting it finished, made me appreciate it that much more and understand patience and realize that, yeah, maybe I want to win a Grammy tomorrow, but it's not going to happen. You got to kind of get there the way you're going to get there, and you can't help things like that, like health. You don't know what's going to happen. So it really taught me a lot. And as much as, you know, it sucks that my mom has cancer, she's doing great now, and that's all we can focus on. So,
yeah. It sounds like you were a very close family before that. Mm-hmm. How, you know, has it made you even closer?
Yes, absolutely. I think we've always been close, and I think actually moving up here to greater northern Minnesota and living in Outing, and my parents starting their own newspaper, and all of us just being kind of, we're on the end of a peninsula, so it's almost an island. We kind of feel like an island in Outing. So it's so small, and we have each other, and we all love each other. And but with that, with all this stuff that had happened in the last couple of years, it even brought us closer, which is so great. And I feel so much support from my family and my friends too, but it definitely brought us closer together. So I don't know what I'd do without them. I love those guys.
Congratulations on getting through all that. And, you know, I'm sure this record has a very symbolic value in terms of having that become something that you've survived versus being in it and having it be really horrible. So
right.
Searching for the roads we used to walk on. You want me to read the signs I've been trying. But when the wind saw you away, I swore I had nothing to say. I tried to tell you that before you had to go. But the ghost in you couldn't wait, so I'll say it again and again. But when the wind started
live at the studios of KAXE Northern Community Radio, KAXE Studios in Grand Rapids. It's Faith Boblett. A different version of that song appears on her record Oil and Water. That one's called Never Wanted to Stay. This is Center Stage Minnesota, and Center Stage Minnesota is our show at Northern Community Radio, where we focus on the talents of Minnesota musicians. Center Stage Minnesota is an original series produced by Northern Community Radio and broadcast on the stations of Ampers. Find us online at kaxe.org. Program support comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Here is the conclusion of my conversation with singer-songwriter musician Faith Boblett here on Center Stage Minnesota.
You, Faith Boblett, are a songwriter and a musician. Paul Boblett is a seasoned musician. And he's also your father.
Yes.
Any writer, including songwriters, need to be willing to address real life circumstances and generally put themselves out there to a degree that is uncommon for most people. And so I imagine that it's caused both of you to move your relationship to one that's between two adults much sooner, probably much more completely than the average father-daughter relationship.
Definitely. It's actually pretty funny, our relationship. He's obviously my dad first, but definitely my friend and a musician that I work with and a companion. I don't know anyone that has a relationship like me and my dad do, really. So it's really cool. We talk on the phone, and one day I'll be like, okay, I've been talking to you too long. Like, can we stop this conversation? And then the next day, it'll be the opposite. And he's like, all right, well, we've been talking for about 10 minutes, so I have to go now. I love him so much, and he is such a great dad first, I think, is the coolest part of it. Is we've talked a little bit about, you know, when the time comes that he won't be playing music with me anymore. And he's like, well, I won't be hurt, but I'll be sad. And I think that that's the most perfect way to put something like that, because it's not that he doesn't want to play music with me anymore eventually, but, you know, that time will come and I'll be sad too.
Your songwriting knack sort of has a great way of attacking some of these subjects, but you know, there's a little snarl and a little sass in there.
Yeah.
And you're talking about some things that are like love relationships, mm-hmm. or related type things, or lack of, that
right.
an adult woman has in her life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write a song like maybe Choke, when the first time you showed that to your dad, did it make you guys uncomfortable?
No, actually, it's interesting. There's only been one song that I've written in the last few months that my dad's like, yeah, I'm never going to play that song with you. But other than that, I mean, nothing is really, there's actually a different song that didn't make the record called I Don't Like You that we did kind of have a conversation about like that. And he's like, oh, I don't know, that's pretty, you know, uncomfortable because I'm your dad. And I said, well, you know, yeah, but it's what I'm writing. So that's the song. You know, my songs may or may not have some of the subject content and things like that, and may have been like, okay, you're my daughter. I
mean, yeah. Well, there's that, and it's sort of the immovable object and the irresistible force or something, you know, where if you're going to be a writer, you've got to be a writer.
Yeah.
And that involves certain autobiographical honesty about issues that are going to be adult issues.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like father-daughter relationships, even well into, you know, you can be 45 years old and, you know, your father still might not quite think about the fact that you're
married or whatever.
Yeah, you know,
have kids or something like that.
Or are even just living a life where, you know, that 20-year-olds will live, you know, where there's realities. I mean, you know, then there's the idealized thoughts.
Version of it.
And so I imagine it's a challenge for you, maybe not to write it, but then to bring it out in the open.
Mm.
And then also for him to say, well, my daughter's an adult and she's also a songwriter and she's doing what she's got to do. And through that process, you both have to really sort of advance to a completely adult relationship.
Because of that. Yeah. I think that, like you said, you know, it's real life. You write about, at least I write about real life. I don't, you know, make it up. Otherwise, it doesn't feel authentic when I'm singing it. And that's actually why I started writing music, because when I would sing other people's songs, it didn't feel as real life as it should, because, you know, you're singing a song is something that can be so personal and so powerful. And when you're singing something you wrote, I think it makes it 10 times more that way. So with my dad being in my band and producing this record with Brent and I, it could definitely be seen as, oh, this song, I don't know, it's about love, what, you know, what is he thinking? But I think it comes down to, with him, it's about this song, and if he thinks it's a good song, I don't think he's going to say something to me unless it's really, really adult content or something like that, I guess. But what you said, yes, our relationship is very adult. We're in a band, you know, we're bandmates. He's my dad, yes, but it's, I guess, almost as much as he's my dad first when we're in the studio, maybe not. Maybe he's the bass player and the producer and kind of looking at how can this song be the best it can be. And he's not worried about that I'm his, you know, little girl singing about this horrible heartbreak. He's thinking about, okay, where is this going to go in the song? Where is this going to be in the album? And how best he can advance that.
Was songwriting your first type of writing? You're definitely a wordsmith and you're... How old now? 22?
22, yep.
So the way you put words together reflects a wisdom that's definitely beyond your age. And
Thank you. And
also a very good sense of good writing. And so I'm just wondering where it started and if there's other forms of writing that you do.
I think it did start with songwriting. I've always enjoyed writing in English classes and, you know, writing short stories for school and things like that. But as far as my own time and for something for myself, writing songs was a first. I've kind of come back to writing short stories and essays and things like that now. Now that I've finished this record, it's something I've been exploring a little bit. But it did start with songwriting and... I don't know, I guess I just found my way with the guitar and a pen and paper, and I just kind of do it. It's not like I'm thinking about, okay, how can I make this a hit, or, you know, or I'm trying to be Taylor Swift or something. No, it's nothing like that. It's just kind of what comes out based on what's going on in my life, as maybe weird as that is, or maybe as common as that is, I'm not sure.
Did you learn over the years by observing things that other good songwriters do, or did you just kind of keep working at it and figure out what you thought you liked or what might improve a song you'd written?
I think that the latter. As much as my parents had always really great music on, the Beatles, XTC, you know, Bonnie Raitt, Sheryl Crow, things like that playing throughout the house as I was growing up, I didn't really hone in on one person or one band or anything to kind of grab from. I think I really did just find, okay, well, I think that sounds really stupid, so I'm going to rewrite that line, and kind of went that way and just tried to make it as everything I would write down or sing as real as I could make it, just to how I was feeling, and maybe not the most literal way of saying something, but finding a way to say something that felt authentic to me. I think that's kind of how my songwriting grew. well, hopefully it grew and since I was 13. But I think that's really the way it kind of went for me, was just honing in on my own writing and how can this song be better? How can I choose a better word here? You know, this doesn't need to rhyme every single time. You know, I think that's kind of what I'm working on now, the rhyming. But I don't know. I think that that's probably the latter of the two. I don't think I really pulled from anyone in particular.
Thanks, Faith.
Thank you. Gonna be going down. Gonna be going down. Oh, gonna be going down. You better catch me. Catch me before I.
That's Faith Boblett, going to be from her new release, Oil and Water. Thanks again to Faith Boblett for coming into KAXE Studios, making the time and adding it to her travel plans to come in and record some music and to have a conversation with me here on Center Stage, Minnesota. The bass player for the band Four on the Floor, who has been really blowing up lately, is Chris Holm. He grew up in Clearbrook, went to Clearbrook High School. And the band that whenever he gets some time, whenever Four on the Floor has any spare time, another band that he's in that's more towards the blues, it's a more of a rock-informed blues band, is called Fattening Frogs. This one's called Coming Home from Fattening Frogs on Center Stage, Minnesota.
on to it, just hold on to it.
We just heard from the 2013 release from Four on the Floor. We heard Fear, Hope, Green, or Me from that record called Spirit of Minneapolis. And also before that, Fattening Frogs, Coming Home here on Center Stage, Minnesota. And taking us out of this episode is the Lewis Connection from a compilation called Twin Cities Funk and Soul. Lost R&B grooves from Minneapolis, St. Paul, 1964 to 1979. The Lewis Connection with Get Up.
We are the Funksmen.
Oh, Dr. Dre, and I just like to say, sweet diamonds.